Hi, welcome back to another episode of The Mindful Space. Today we have Kaya Roman. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time to come here and talk about a very important topic, right?
So important.
Yes. So before we start, I'm gonna let you introduce yourself a little bit professionally and personally.
Okay, thank you. Well, the mindful space, I guess I'll start by saying I'm a certified mindfulness instructor for elementary school students. And even though I've done many different things throughout my career, the 5 years that I taught mindfulness to kindergarten through sixth graders was probably my favorite thing that I've ever done. And I really saw a huge difference that it made in those kids' lives. And then I took the mindfulness training that I had for elementary school students and actually went into tech companies and taught like CEOs and executives the exact same stuff. Because we all need to have these skills. And I think it's something everybody should learn in school and everybody should be doing in their business. But I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been starting businesses since I was 10 years old. I have a number of businesses and a documentary filmmaker and an author. And I wrote a book called The Joy Plan about the neuroscience of joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about joy, our topic today is psychedelics for biohacking joy. And then later on, we're going to move on to quantum healing.
Awesome.
Great. For those who might not know what biohacking is, do you mind explaining a little bit of it?
Sure. So, you know, bio is like biological. We are these biological beings mm-hmm. in these bodies. But there are things that we can do to make our bodies run at peak performance. Peak performance is like when you feel your best, you have your best energy, you're sleeping well, you are not aging as much, and you are not in a state of disease. You're in a state of flow. And so biohacking is basically taking things like diet, exercise, supplements, mindfulness practices, meditation. It can be anything that changes your biology to be in a peak performance state and a peak state of health.
Okay. And how can we start biohacking? Or before we get into that, what role does psychedelics play into biohacking?
Well, let's start with, you know, introducing kind of what psychedelics are. There's a lot of discussion about psychedelics now. These are compounds that have not even been legal to be scheduled or to be studied. They've been scheduled mm-hmm. by the DEA as Schedule 1, meaning that they have no medical benefit and high propensity for abuse. And now a lot of research is coming out from Johns Hopkins, from Yale, from Harvard, from all the most established universities and research institutes in the world that, hey, these were actually scheduled incorrectly. They have tremendous medical benefit, not a lot of propensity for abuse. And let's figure out what is possible with these psychedelic compounds. So psychedelics is a huge category because there's many different things that fall under that umbrella and they're all different. Mm-hmm. So people may have heard of like ketamine, which is actually a legal psychedelic. It's Schedule 3. So with a prescription, it is being used for mental health. There are plant medicines like ibogaine, ayahuasca. There's psilocybin mushrooms. There's like LSD. These are all psychedelics and they're all different and being used and studied in different ways. But how do you use them for biohacking joy? Well, one thing that they all have in common is that they all create extra neuroplasticity. So this is after you interact with a psychedelic and it makes some changes in your brain, just to speak in very simplistic terms, mm-hmm. your brain creates new neurons and new dendrites, which are like the very beginnings of the neurons. Yeah. Neurons are the brain cells that connect together to form neural pathways. So neural pathways are how we make all of our mm-hmm. decisions and all of our actions. So every time we speak and move and think and do anything, mm-hmm. it's making neurons clump together that form habits, and our brain works on neural pathways. So sometimes we get stuck in neural pathways where we're not either we're thinking negative thoughts or we're stuck in neural pathways of anxiety or depression or not feeling well or having addiction responses. Mm-hmm. And you can use psychedelics to basically like create freshly driven snow. Yeah. And that's how I like to think
fresh
of it.
Fresh powder.
And fresh powder. And then you can rewrite those neural pathways the way that you want them to. So that's some pretty cool biohacking. Yeah. I actually have a little prop that I like to explain. I mentioned I was a mindfulness teacher for 5 years in an elementary school.
Makes sense.
So I love to explain neural pathways this way. So if you take a piece of paper and you fold it in half for the first time, you have to really line up the edges, press down the crease, you know, get it to line up, then you're going to fold it again. That took some effort, but you have a nicely folded piece of paper. That's like if you're forming a neural pathway for the first time. Let's say I want to remember to drink enough water every day. I have to like really make myself remember. But then I keep doing it and I keep doing it. Maybe like on the hour, every hour, I remember to take a sip of water. And then the more times I do it, it's like folding that paper again the second time. It just goes back so easily because the neural pathways are like grooves that your brain just goes down that highway automatically because it becomes a habit. So it's really cool. It's like you can engineer your own neural pathways, but it's not just about using the psychedelics, getting the fresh powder, and then you're off to the races. You actually have to put the practices in place to create on purpose what you want to create.
And now, how would you start that process? How would you biohack? Like you're at this point, did the psychedelics, and what is the next step?
Well, it depends on what somebody's working on. So if somebody is looking to improve their mental health with psychedelics, it's very important to do that like within a safe container, whether you're working with a clinician or a guide, you know. Right now, there are places in the United States where you can have these experiences legally, but a lot of times you have to go to another country unless you're working with ketamine. So first of all, it just depends on
what
you're doing.
You're
but ideally, you have some kind of a expert guide who's helping you prepare, because the preparation is part of the experience. It's setting the intention. An intention is like drawing a map. It helps to direct where the experience will go and helps to direct how you want to rewrite those neural pathways. Then you have your experience, you create some brain changes, and then it's actually the work that you do afterwards that is at least 50%, if not more, of the process of doing this biohacking, which is like every single day you have to be very intentional about what you do. So referring back to whatever your intention was. So let's say it's drink more water.
Yeah.
Then you have to be extremely intentional about doing that practice after you have had the psychedelic experience. But it's going to be a lot easier because your brain will be like, ooh, water, yes, I'm going to form those new neural pathways. And then it's easier to form new habits afterwards.
So that's what I was going to say. It's like when you want to break a habit, they always tell you it takes 90 days or whatever. The psychedelic experience would just make that easier, or would it make it shorter, in a shorter period of time?
I mean, I think that we need some actual hardcore science on this. And the thing about psychedelics, like I said, we're only just now starting to be able to even study them. Because they were in this 70s just made like illegal to even study. And now with certain, you know, loopholes and special designations being given, because people have been suffering so much, then we're able to start studying them. So I think we need a study on, can psychedelics help you change a habit more quickly?
Yes.
My personal belief is absolutely. It just makes sense. If they create extra neuroplasticity and then you do the practices, which we already know even without psychedelics, you know, work to change a habit.
Yes.
To me, it seems like absolutely. But I think, you know, we need some official studies to prove it.
We need some official studies.
Yes.
I think we went over pretty much about the benefits. Can you give us like the main ones, the major ones?
Of psychedelics?
And biohacking.
And biohacking with psychedelics. So I would say that we are living in a time when I'm really glad there's podcasts like this where, you know, we're talking about mental health, because we're living in a time when 1 in 4 adults have some kind of diagnosable mental health condition. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, we're suffering. We as a human race are really, really suffering. And so any perception that's out there about psychedelics being like just for a trip or for recreation, I would say that is not the focus, really, because these are a very powerful medicine. And so it's not just for anybody necessarily who's like, oh, I'm feeling good, I want to just like biohack. I mean, that can be positive as well, but I'm more interested in speaking to people who are suffering, because I've suffered. I've experienced anxiety. I've experienced PTSD. I've experienced depression, and it's horrible. It's horrible to live with it. And if you live with it, it's also really impossible to explain how you feel to anyone who doesn't
experience that. Yes.
And so it's for those people that I want to know there is relief. There is something that can help, and it can help very, very quickly. But it's important to find the right guide or the right clinic. It's important to have the right set and setting. It's important to do it in the right way, so that you get the best outcome from it.
And I do believe that this is like the future. And the more people talk about it, the more studies come out, the more they make it legal, at least to study and use in a safe setting, then this will come a long way, because we already have studies that help with the depression, the PTSD, the veterans.
Yes. And, I mean, amazing studies like comparing people that have been taking microdoses of psilocybin mushrooms to people who are taking SSRIs for their depression. And either they're the same outcome or the mushrooms are better, but the SSRIs are never better.
Yes.
So, I mean, even just research like that, published in Nature, like very, you know, reputable science journal, it just shows there's something very profound here. And the other cool thing about, you know, something like psilocybin mushrooms is they don't have side effects. Whereas if you're on antidepressants, you're probably gaining weight, losing your libido, maybe having trouble sleeping, all kinds of things.
It takes months to even have an effect on a person.
Right. And then if you want to go off of them, that's a whole, that's a whole process that can be very difficult as well. So I do love that about these compounds, is that they seem to be very benign in the body. And, you know, for anyone who's out there that's suffering, that's like, yeah, but I can't get psilocybin mushrooms, I don't live in Oregon, I don't live in Colorado. Ketamine is a very effective treatment for like up to 80% of people, especially with treatment-resistant depression. But
yeah, you know, like the severe, I've tried it all, nothing works.
Exactly. And the majority of those people have profound results with ketamine. So yeah, if you're looking to biohack, I would, you know, just investigate what are the options. If it's seeing someone, you know, for ketamine treatment in a clinic, checking out some of the at-home ketamine treatment options, or perhaps going to something like a psilocybin retreat, which is available in areas where it's decriminalized or in, you know, other countries where those can happen.
Exactly. Why do you think now people are more interested in the psychedelics to treat specifically their mental health? Because I feel like more people are talking about it, more conferences. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm sure you can tell because that's what you do.
Yes, definitely. There's so much more conversation happening and interest. And, you know, people have been using psychedelics, obviously, for thousands of years. These ancient plant medicines have been, like, in there are tribes still in the Amazon that call ayahuasca the medicine, because it's the only medicine. If you have cancer, you go to the medicine. If you're having trouble in your marriage, you go to the medicine. It's just, it's the medicine. It's the only thing they use. So it's certainly not new. And then even among, you know, I live in Silicon Valley, like Steve Jobs talked about how he was using psychedelics. Like, it's been very common for people, many, many innovations. Now we're finding out, oh, those people kind of use psychedelics to come up with those ideas. But it's been really taboo to talk about it.
I think it wasn't at Prince,
Oh, Prince Harry.
Prince Harry talked about it, and it was all over the news.
Oh, totally. In his new memoir. And he talked about how, you know, working with psilocybin mushrooms really helped him go through this big transition. And I think that's been hugely helpful, having celebrities speak out about their experiences, because then other people who aren't celebrities that are like, oh, I had an experience too, but I never wanted to talk about it. Or they're like, you know, I'm suffering as well, and maybe this isn't something that I need to be scared of.
Exactly. No, I agree with you completely. And like I said, I feel like this is the future. Now, can we talk about innovations? I know you work with Psyceuticals. Can we talk a little bit about that, your mission? What do they do?
Yeah. So this is a really interesting time because, like I said, we're just now being able to study and actually develop psychedelics and even see what these compounds are capable of. Mm-hmm. There's an organization called MAPS that's been fighting for 37 years for the legalization of MDMA to treat PTSD, and it's anticipated early next year they will finally get FDA approval, and that will be the first psychedelic that is legal at a federal level, you know, besides ketamine. Mm-hmm. So it's a really exciting time because those of us who work in this industry, and it's like a baby, brand new industry, you know, believe that now they're going to go one by one and start becoming legal. So there are companies that are doing R&D to say like, oh wow, well, what can we do with this compound? What can we treat now that there's these amazing new molecules that we can study? How can we help people in new ways that we never knew how to do before? I mean, there's studies for treating migraines, for treating Alzheimer's, dementia, traumatic brain injury, so many fascinating things that we can do with these compounds. So it's a really exciting time. And I work with a company called Psyceutical that has something so innovative. I'm really excited about it because, you know, the psychedelic experience can involve hallucinations and visions, and it can be extremely profound. But to be honest, it's not for everyone. There are contraindications. It can be, you know, something you have to set aside a lot of time for. It can be expensive. So what Psyceutical has is patents that are already proven with pharmaceuticals that they've licensed to use with psychedelic compounds. And these are delivery methods for delivering medication directly to the brain so that the rest of the body is not getting the effects of the medication, which means they can deliver a psychedelic compound without creating a psychedelic trip and just isolate the brain benefits without having a big experience. And I'm not saying I'm against big experiences. I've had some profound psychedelic experiences that saved my life.
No, but it's not for everyone.
But I don't think my mom is going to do that.
I don't think she'll enjoy the trip.
So, for example, Psyceutical, the first formulation that they're taking through clinical trials is ketamine, because again, that's Schedule 3, so we can study it first. And it's in a topical cream that is applied at the back of the neck, at the base of the hairline. And at this specific formulation applied at this specific location, the concept, and we've shown it in preclinical trials and observational studies, is that the molecule of the ketamine goes straight to the receptors in the brain, causes the neuroplasticity that we've talked about, but also causes the benefits that people seek for ketamine treatment in clinics. They feel calmer, they feel relief, but they can drive, they can work, they're not having a trip. Okay. They just rub some cream on the back of their neck. Yeah. So it's really a breakthrough. I'm very, very excited about this because this can help so, so many people.
And they're going to continue to go as long as
other compounds become legal. Exactly.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh my God, that would be a game changer.
It is a game changer.
Just putting a cream.
Yes.
Avoiding the trip.
Yeah. I mean, our doctor who developed the patent, he studied 100 patients with severe PTSD. Mm-hmm. These are people that have not responded to anything else. And their life is awful. They can't work. They struggle. They can't function. And 80% of them received almost immediate relief with this cream on the back of their neck. within 10 minutes. And they just have to apply it daily. Right. And so they followed up with them after 2 and 3 weeks, and they were like still doing amazing.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this, you know, now we prove it in clinical trials. Exactly. So that's observational data, but still, it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Now, let's transition a little. When we talk about quantum healing, how does all that go in together?
With, yeah.
Like, biohacking and psychedelics.
Yes. So when I wrote my book, The Joy Plan, which I actually wrote quite a while ago, like 8 years ago now, it came out in 2017. I had not had a psychedelic experience yet. I was very interested in how the brain works. I was very interested in mindfulness practices. I was using the techniques that I knew to biohack my brain for joy. But then I discovered psychedelics and I was like, oh, wow, this is a real shortcut. But I was also, you know, in my studies and in my research, coming across this concept of quantum healing, and that we are actually quantum beings, that, you know, we exist in a quantum field. We think that we are solid and that everything around us is solid, but actually everything is 99.99999% empty space. We're actually made of energy that's oscillating at different frequencies, and that energy is like made of information, and, you know, we're swimming in a field of information. And so when you start looking into quantum physics, then you can come across this concept of quantum healing. Well, if everything is energy and everything is information, then disease, whether it's mental illness or physical illness, is like a disturbance in the quantum field. And if you can access that quantum field and change it there, then you can change it in the physical body. So this is something I'm very, very interested in. And I, you know, have seen really remarkable healing happen with psychedelics, not just mental health, but people heal physical things with psychedelics. And I have seen that through some, like, if your listeners have ever heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, he's a perfect example of people that are experiencing amazing quantum healing through something like his meditation techniques, where they're not taking any substance, but they are accessing the quantum field and they are biohacking in the quantum field and changing their biology. And he has thousands of these stories. Yes. So I mentioned I'm a documentary filmmaker. I'm actually working on a documentary film. I had the great pleasure of interviewing him and some other incredible quantum researchers and scientists. And this is a huge passion of mine.
No, I wanted to talk about this. So, because you're still working on it, so I wasn't sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I can talk about it. Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
we would love to hear more about it.
It's in progress. You know, films take a while. Okay. But yeah, the concept is the working title for the film is Frequency, the Future of Everything. And basically, the concept is, like I said, we are more than we know. We are more than these biological powerless beings. We actually have tremendous power to change how we feel and to change the world around us. And so I really want to help people have hope, you know, and faith that we actually can help solve a lot of the problems that we face in the world right now, which can seem really insurmountable. But once you tap into the quantum field, problems are more easy to solve. And so I have these scientists that talk about these, you know, things conceptually, but then I'm also showing devices and technologies that are being used that are harnessing frequencies to solve some of these problems. Like, for example, there's a company that is an agriculture company. They treat water with frequency that is repelling to the pests that would normally go and attack crops. They spray these farms with this frequency infused water, and then they don't have to use pesticide. So this is like new technology that's coming that is very world changing.
It is. It could be no pesticides.
Yes. Yes, please.
Well, my next question was going to be, how can you get into this quantum, it almost seems like a realm.
Yeah, it is.
How can someone start practicing that or try to get in it?
Yeah.
Does it have to be with a device? Or, well, you mentioned meditation.
Yes, I would say, when talking about quantum or psychedelics, that the easiest and the free way to access both of those things is through breath. You know, some of the most psychedelic experiences that I've ever had are through breath work. Mm-hmm. And that is actually what these teachers, when, you know, you go and learn like quantum meditation, they're actually teaching you very basic breath work techniques. Yes. So, and meditation is breath work, really. It's focusing on your breath so that you can quiet your mind. Most meditation techniques. So if you're interested in this, if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, that sounds really cool, I would look into breath work techniques first.
Yeah. In general, it has so many benefits.
Yes. So much. I mean, oxygen is the cue to our amygdala that it's safe to stop sounding the alarm and that you can get out of fight or flight and activate your parasympathetic nervous system. Not the sympathetic, your parasympathetic nervous system, and, you know, feel peaceful and calm. And that's breath. That's why people say take a deep breath when you're freaking out, and the last thing you want to do, but you're like, there's actually a reason for it.
It could definitely regulate you. When do you know, or how do you know if you are the person that needs to do quantum healing, or if it's for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's for everyone. Okay. Because I mean, and I would, you know, I'd almost say psychedelics are for everyone too. It's just that, you know, it needs to be done safely. Maybe certain people should like only microdose if they have certain conditions. But quantum healing, like there's nothing,
there's no side effects.
There's no side effects. There's no contraindications. You know, if you want to tap into your energy field and try some breath work and some meditation, or try a device, like there's a frequency device called the Healy, Healy, that is it's really cute. It's like this big, and you can program it to emit certain frequencies. Like I've used it to get rid of a headache. You push like headache, and then it like, and you're like, oh, I don't have a headache anymore. Yeah, that's quantum healing.
Yes. Yeah. I think we actually discussed that in an interview that we had in LA. And she brought it and she had it hanging in the neck. I was like, how can I get one of these?
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that I hope will become much more popular and just known and understood, because these technologies really do work.
What would you say for those people that are kind of sketchy about the psychedelics?
Yeah.
Energy, frequency.
I know, I'm talking about, you know, some pretty far out stuff.
Right? No, some people are very skeptical. Yes. Or, you know, they think about drug abuse and all these things.
Yes. Well, in regards to psychedelics and drugs, I would say there's a big difference between a medicine and a drug. And psychedelics I consider to be a medicine. First of all, if you have an experience with, say, a plant medicine like ayahuasca or an ibogaine, these are the least addictive compounds ever, because it's not something you want to do that often. It's like a very intense experience, but it's very healing. It's very, very healing. And a medicine goes in and it heals the root of what the problem is. Whereas a drug can suppress it, you know, suppress the symptoms. Healing with medicine isn't always easy. You might have to dig something up. You might have to dig up trauma and bring it up to the surface, but then you get rid of it. And so that's how I think about these things. And I'm really grateful that there's so many different ways to access them. You know, that you can go to Mexico and have an ibogaine treatment if somebody is, you know, really struggling with a heroin addiction and there's nothing else that's worked for them. Ibogaine is an incredible option. If you're really wanting to like have some visionary experiences and insights, you can go have an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica. And I love that those options are available. But if that's sounding scary or like that's
too much,
I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the interest, then, you know, there's microdosing and there's ketamine for people who are struggling with their maybe anxiety or depression. And ketamine is like a very mild experience with, mm-hmm. but there's hardly any contraindications for it. So I'd say, you know, do the research. Definitely there are amazing peer-reviewed medical journals. Now there's so much scientific research that's available. So I definitely recommend people do the research.
Exactly. You definitely want to know what's out there, and then you decide what to take.
Yeah.
Not to shame the medical field. Yeah. We want to work together, I think, in the future. Just want to tell people all absolutely. The options that they might have, especially for those chronic cases.
I know. I mean, I know people, you know, are hard on doctors or Western medicine a lot of times, but for me, I just think, you know, they don't learn about these things in medical school. And like, doctors who care about their patients, they want to be able to help them. So like you said, especially chronic or difficult cases, if there's something that can help that they don't know about, I think they'd want to know about it.
Exactly.
I talk to doctors all the time that, you know, want to know about psychedelics, and they want to know about frequencies, and they want to know about all these things because they want to help their patients.
I feel eventually if we keep going the way we're going, it's going to be taught in school.
They barely even teach nutrition, you know, but yes. Things are changing. So yes, I do hope that, you know, things will change for the better. Yeah.
What would be your last message for somebody that may be listening, struggling with severe chronic depression or anxiety, or somebody who might be considering, you know, researching and considering jumping into this psychedelic or quantum realm?
Yeah. Well, I would just say that if you're out there and you're struggling, there are so many more options than you can see right now, because when you don't feel good, it feels like there's no options. But just don't lose hope. You know, don't lose hope. Research ketamine, research psychedelics, research quantum healing. These things are a lot more accessible than you may realize. You could watch a YouTube video on breathwork and end up doing something for 10 minutes and finding some relief. And sometimes all you need is just that little bit of relief. And then you start thinking more clearly. And then the next thing comes, and the next thing comes, and the next thing comes. So really, it's just like, don't lose hope. There's so much healing available. And if you're feeling like crap, you're not alone. Like, I've been there. A lot of us have been there. A lot of us are there right now. So I promise you, from a place of having been there, there is hope. And there are a lot of actually amazing options.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. Oh, I love this conversation.
Me too.
We could extend it another hour, but I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you everyone for watching. Don't forget to follow us. We have a new episode every Friday. If you liked what we talked about, please don't be afraid to leave us a comment. I will see you next week.
Bye.
There you go.
Yay. Thank you. That was amazing. If there's anyone or any type